Please remain standing for the reading of God's Word from Ephesians chapter 6. And while you're turning in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, the children ages 3 to 8 are free to be dismissed for the children's Bible lesson with Miss Lydia. Page number 978 in your pew Bibles. In this 22nd sermon, working through the book of Ephesians. And in the book of Ephesians, what you see in chapters 1 through 3, we learn about our union with Christ and all of the riches that are ours because of our new relationship with the Lord. And then in chapters 4, 5, and 6, we get instruction on how that should work itself out in our lives. In chapter 5, verse 18, there's a key phrase there where we're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. And we see what it looks like to be filled with the Spirit in the following verses. In the home, in particular, we see that wives are to submit to and respect their husbands. Husbands are to love, nourish, and cherish their wives. And today, what we're seeing is that children are to be obeying parents, and parents not provoking their children to anger. No doubt many of you have already raised your children. They're grown and out of the house. Certainly, I'm sure that's the case. And this hopefully would be something that you could pass along to others, maybe to your children, for grandchildren, or other friends. Many of you hope one day to be raising children. And I hope that these things would be able to be helpful for you if the Lord provides. Ephesians chapter 6, I'll read verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This is God's word. Thanks be to God. Lord, please open our eyes that we might behold wonderful things from this your word. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. What is it that causes children to reject the values of their parents? What is it that causes them oftentimes to leave the church in which they grew up? Certainly that's oftentimes the case when they reject the values of their parents. They reject everything. And certainly I could give statistics. We all know that they're really kind of staggering, the numbers that we see there. Have they been provoked to anger? Many of you have had children who have left the faith, rejected the family values, and so you have very personal experience with this. Many of you have siblings who have rejected the family's values and have left the faith. Have they been provoked to anger? Well, there's no easy answer to that question. There's just not. Maybe, but maybe not. And I know one couple, they have 8 children. 7 of them follow the Lord conscientiously, diligently, faithfully, and 1 went astray. How do you explain that when they are raised in the same home, same principles, same parents? Again, there are no easy answers to these questions. But when it comes to raising children, Ephesians chapter 6 does give us some help. It does give us some instructions, some principles that we need to keep in mind. And many of these are points that I cover in my pre-marriage counseling. But before I want to get into that, here's my bottom line. The biggest problem in parenting is parents. The biggest hurdle, the biggest obstacle when it comes to raising children is me. It's you. It's us as parents. Those are the opening words, actually, to the book that I've written one book in my life, and it's still just in manuscript form at this point. Although, good news, I was talking with emailing with a publisher this week, and they said they have interest in publishing it for 2023, so I'm excited about that. But the book is about training children, and these are the opening words of the sentence. I didn't look it up, but I think I've got it just about down. I've messed with that manuscript a long time. The biggest problem in parenting is parents. We're the issue. And so I hope that Ephesians chapter 6 can give us a few helpful points. Now, originally, my sermon was 8 points. I knew we had a baptism today, and so I'm going to do like I oftentimes do. We'll kind of cut it in half, and rather than trying to give you a 50-minute sermon, we'll try to give you a 25-minute sermon twice on the same subject and cover points 5, 6, 7, and 8, Lord willing, next week. Number one, parents are the problem in training children when they, first of all, neglect the marriage relationship. When they neglect the marriage relationship. Now, this is hard for many of you because some of you are single parents. And this is hard for some of you because you come from single parent homes and you might feel like you're damaged goods in light of what I've said. Hang in there. Let me work through this. And I will provide you some encouragement at the end of this point. But don't neglect the marriage relationship. The marriage relationship must be the priority relationship in the home. And I get this from chapter 5. At the end of chapter 5, verses 22 to 33, when Paul gives his household rules, he gives rules for parents, for husbands and wives. He gives rules for parents that we're looking at now, Lord willing, in a future week. He gives instructions for work-type environments, which in that case, in that day, it was slave and master environment. We think about it today as work situations. But what he addresses first of all in these household rules is husbands and wives. That's because the marriage relationship is foundational to everything else in the home. Essential for the child's relationship with the world is the parents' relationship with each other. Parents who love each other, parents who treat each other with respect, create a secure and stable environment for their children. And that, of course, we all would agree that a secure and stable environment is crucial. And you think about yourself. When you're in limbo about something, when it's insecure, how unenjoyable it is. You know, maybe you're just waiting for the appointment with the doctor following the test. But while you're waiting, there's just insecurity there, this nervousness. Parents who love each other and treat each other with respect create a stable, secure environment for their children. Children who see their father love their mother learn how to love others. Children who see their mother honor and respect their father learn how to honor and respect others. The marriage relationship must be the priority relationship in the home. Besides, your relationship with your child in a significant, explicit way, where you're really there, is kind of limited to about 18 years. Now, Lord willing, you have a long relationship with your child. But hopefully your marriage is 50, 60, 70 years. They were in your home, your children were, 18 years, and then they on their own. Now, if you're a single parent, whether it be by death or divorce or whatever, there is still a priority relationship that your children need to know about. And it's your relationship with the Lord. Your children, even if there's been a death or a divorce or whatever, your children can still be secure and stable by seeing mom or dad have that security and stability through their relationship with the Lord. So don't think all is lost because there's been something significantly traumatic there in the home. Single parent, if your relationship with the Lord is your top priority, you will be a secure and stable person. And your child will reap the benefits of stability versus chaos and tumult. Plus, it's simply a wonderful thing when your child asks permission to do something, for them to hear you say, "Well, I got to talk to the Lord about that. I got to get some advice from a mentor or someone like that." The child learns that they can't boss you around. The child learns that they aren't the priority relationship in the home who gets everything they want. But don't forget this first point. The marriage relationship is the priority relationship in the home. And if the Lord has, in His providence, has seen fit for that not to be the case with you, for whatever reason, then you make sure you make that relationship with the Lord the top priority, so that those children still have that security and stability that's provided there. Second, parents are the problem in training children when they center their lives around the children. Parents are the problem in training children when they center their lives around the children. Verse 1 says, children, obey your parents. And that order must be remembered. We must get that correct. It doesn't say, parents, obey your children. It says, children, obey your parents. Which means we must avoid having child-centered homes. A child-centered home is a home where the child is the center of the home. You can't eat anything except what the child wants to eat. You have to tiptoe around your child so as not to upset him or her. Your life is hectic because the way you spend your time is simply a reaction to your child's activities. All of those things and more are ways that we create child-centered homes, and you're doing your child a great disservice if you have a child-centered home. You know, I think about the family to I'll join the chorus of those who will talk bad about travel ball, where you as a family all of a sudden everything centers around your child being the next, you know, Mickey Mantle or Chipper Jones or whoever, and so so everything centers around them and their lives. Or I think about sometimes families will change churches because the child's friends are not at that church; they're somewhere else. And of course, then the kids leave home for college or military service or whatever, and the parents come back to the church they really love. That very well could be an example of centering the family around the child. And which, speaking of, I've appreciated what some parents say about this. They say, you know what, the Lord's Day is for worshiping the Lord. It's not a day for hanging out with friends, many of whom you see the other, you know, 5 days a week at school or whatever. Or we're going to worship as a family at our church every week. It's not up for debate. And we'll let you be involved in another good church where there's a thriving youth ministry of some sort. Maybe you can go to their weekly meeting or their special conferences or retreats or something like that. I appreciate that. That is ordering your lives in such a way that everything is not centered around the child. We're doing a great disservice to our children when we have child-centered homes. Let me give you a couple of ways, maybe practical ways, that you can help not center the home around the children. One is by prioritizing the marriage relationship, just like I was just preaching on. And particularly, letting your child know that they're number two. That they're not the priority relationship in the home. That there are things, there are people who are more important, like the Lord, if you're a single parent especially. Or like your spouse, if you're married. It's a good thing for your child to know that they're not number one. One of the things that we used to do that was just silly, but I think helpful, to try to communicate this when the kids were small. If you're new here, my kids are now grown. They're 23 to 31. So this is going back a few years, remembering some of this. But we used to do this little thing when I would leave the house in the morning. The last kiss was best. And then when I would come in the evenings, the first kiss was best. And so that meant Lisa always got the last kiss in the morning after I run around and give kids hugs and kisses. And then she was the first one to get a kiss in the evening. And so, of course, the kids would have a good time with it. You know, after I've kissed Lisa, then they're running and trying to jump on me and get a kiss in before, because they knew that the last kiss was best. But no, my wife, their mom, got the last kiss. She got the best kiss. Same thing, coming in the evening, you know, whatever. They'd meet me at the end of the driveway and hop on the hood of the car, you know, whatever, trying to get the first kiss in, because I knew the first kiss was best at the end of the day. But no, that's reserved for Lisa. You're not the priority here, kid. You're second. There are other priorities here. Another way that you can communicate that is by saying no a lot, especially when they're young. And say it with confidence. I didn't say volume, with confidence. You don't have to have a scowl or a furrowed brow, but you should say it clearly, firmly, without negotiating or explaining. You know, when you negotiate with a child, you're making them the judge and you're arguing your case before them. Don't do that. You're the judge. You're in charge. If you're afraid to say, you know, no with any sort of authority because you don't want a fight or a meltdown or a temper tantrum, then you've already created a child-centered home. We got to work backwards. We got some gain, make some progress on some lost ground there. In those situations, the child has trained you. Third, on how to make sure your child is not the center of home, let them see you giving yourselves away to the Lord, to the church. Now, that can go overboard. You shouldn't be at church every night of the week with committee meetings and all that stuff. But your children need to see you giving yourself away to the Lord, to the church, to others. And if you can't give yourself to other things because the children are consuming all your attention, they'll go into the world thinking that they deserve all the attention. You've created a child-centered home, and they'll grow up thinking that the world revolves around them because that's the way they were raised for 18 years. The key to having self-centered children, spoiled children, is to center the home around them. Don't have a child-centered home. Number three, parents are the problem in training children when they clamp down when the child wants to fly. This is the way I say it in my book, and I can't remember if I heard this. I think I coined this myself. I hope I did. I'm taking credit for it. But the way I say it is very simply this. Be hard on them when they're small, and you can lighten up when they're tall. Be hard on them when they're small, so that you can lighten up when they're tall. Verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. So what you've got presented here are obedience and honoring, these two concepts. And obedience is what you expect from young children. Honoring is what you expect from older children. Some of you are 50, 60 years old, and you still have parents that you honor. It's different, and that's the point. We have different expectations when it comes to relationships between parents and children. Different expectations at different times and how they're to be raised. Be hard on them when they're small, and then you can lighten up when they're tall. Don't try to be their best friend when they're small. Never allow them to treat you with disrespect when they're small or tall. Especially when they're small, don't treat them like they're a fragile piece of fine china around whom you have to walk on eggshells, making sure they're okay. I remember hearing one man say one time, when your children are small, your home should be like a totalitarian police state where they have to ask for your permission to do anything. And if you'll do that when they're small, when the battles are easy to fight, when they're clear and simple, then when they get older and it's not as clear, it's a little more gray, it's confusing, and the consequences of decisions are more significant, they will have learned self-control, and so you can trust them as they get older. They'll be responsible teenagers. You can lighten up when, as teenagers, they want to spread their own wings and start making their own decisions. And you can trust them because you taught them self-control young when they were young, and so they're not going to go do something totally crazy and stupid when they're older because they're trustworthy, they're responsible, they're self-disciplined. So it all goes back to you and me. It all goes back to parents. Parents must change the way they parent. You can't laugh at a little girl's cute sassiness when she's 2 and 3 years old and expect her to respond well when you don't laugh at her teenage attitude. And you try to ground her and clamp down. Fourth and finally, parents are the problem in training children when they overly fear the world. When they overly fear the world. Verse 4 tells us to bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. Sometimes we parents will act as if the problems are out there in the world. That was very much a part of my thinking that I've had to try to work through. And so what you want to do is then just kind of protect them, isolate them. And there's certainly a kernel of truth there. That protection and isolation, insulation is important. But the problem with children is their heart. Proverbs says that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from them. So yeah, we should protect our children, but often we need to make sure that we're not just insulating them, but infusing them with instruction from God's Word, teaching them about the Lord, making sure that with our children we take every thought captive. Remember with the kids, sometimes they would do something stupid, they would sin or whatever, and I would try to ask the question, well, why do you think you did that? And of course they learned over time, because I'm a sinner. I said, well, yeah, but let's think a little bit deeply. Why did you do that? What do you think you get from it? The only reason why people sin is because they get something from it. We don't do things we don't get things from. We get something from it. So what are you getting from that? Taking every thought captive, trying to help them see how Christ is life. And it's when we follow Him that we experience the blessings of His Word and His faithfulness. So we want to talk through things with the children, the things to which they're exposed. We want to bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. You know, I know when our children were young and at home, that's when the Harry Potter books were big and they came out. And I remember many parents said, don't read the Harry Potter books, many Christian parents. And I never read the books. I still haven't read them. I don't really remember why. Maybe I knew at the time. You know, I guess it was just some sort of fantasy novel. Maybe there's magic or spells. I'm not sure. I've never read them. But what sometimes happens is that then a child will go to college or, again, military service or just work or whatever. And then they get out from their parents' home. They read them. They wonder, well, what was all the fuss about? And they might end up even thinking, well, if my parents are making rules about a fantasy series that I don't think were really legitimate, well, what else were they wrong about? We don't have to fear the world. We bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. We don't have to make extra biblical rules. We bring them up in the instruction of the Lord, which is what we're told in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. We bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. And one of the things that we Brocks did, of course, we got October 31st is All Saints Day, Halloween. We allowed our children to go trick-or-treating, much to the chagrin sometimes of other parents, other Christian parents. Now, we wouldn't have them dress up as witches and devils and things like that, but many parents were against Halloween, and, you know, Halloween, that's the devil's holiday and things like that. We said, no, this is a day to make fun of the devil. Is that the best he's got? A bunch of little, you know, silly things you put in the yard or, you know, and trying to make, is that the best he's got? In a sense, yeah, he's been defeated. Go get some candy. And we also would try to, at our house, have the best candy. I mean, we said, you know, I mean, we want the neighbor kids to think that the Christian family right down the road there, that's where you get the real Hershey bars, the big ones. Want them to think your Christians are generous, that they're happy. We don't have to be afraid of the world. Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. The biggest problem in parenting is parents. It's you. It's me. I'll never forget when. So we have five children, and when we had the first two, and then a 4-year gap, and then another one, and then actually twins after that. And the second born always says, I was such a handful that you needed 4 years, a little bit of a break between you started, we had more. But Lisa and I, we would read everything we could. We'd go to seminars. We'd watch videos. We would listen to sermons on cassette tapes. And, you know, we were doing all we could to try to learn about trying to raise children, train children, and I don't remember exactly which one was the first course we participated in training children, but it hit us one night, and Lisa and I we started crying. We realized we were wishing away the years while our children were young, because they were just kind of out of control. We were doing such a sorry job. We weren't disciplining them well, and we were just like, I'll be so glad when we get rid of these when they're no longer 18 months old and 3 years old and 5 years old, because it's just so hard. And we just started weeping. We're the problem. It wasn't our kids. It was us. Parenting begins with parents. We're the ones who have to walk with the Lord. We are the ones who have to exercise discipline. We're the ones who have to be consistent. We're the ones who have to ask for forgiveness when we sin against them. The biggest problem in parenting is parents. But thanks be to God, there is grace for sinning parents. And every parent in here is a sinning parent. And there is a grace that covers all our sins. There is forgiveness that is ours in Christ. He's the only perfect parent, the Lord Himself. And so we rest in that, and we beg Him to enable us to apply some of these principles from Ephesians chapter 6. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, if training children were easy, we wouldn't have this command in Scripture. We wouldn't need the Holy Spirit to lead us. So we need Your help. We need confidence. We need wisdom to know what to do. We need to trust Your Word. Lord, please help us. Please help us all to train children who would love You and honor You. And help us, Lord, when there's been steps back in that regard and children aren't following You. Enable us, O God, to remember Your mercy and grace towards us. You are the only perfect parent, God. Perfectly wise, perfectly merciful, disciplining us when necessary. And we thank You and pray that would give us great rest and peace today through Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and sing as a hymn of response, number 457, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. Amen.
Use this time today to stimulate your thinking. I'd love a chance to get to know you a little bit better and have some conversation. Please feel free to reach out to me in whatever way is comfortable for you. You can come by the office, or I'll buy you lunch, or just a cup of coffee. Of course, you can always come by on Sunday mornings and we can meet face to face.
Our new service time is 9:30 a.m.